because if you have been wanting to quit, or you have thrown in a white flag, backed off, today can be the day that you get it in your heart and you just recommit things to the Lord. And I'm telling you, 2023 will be a wonderful year. Wonderful. Somebody say wonderful. I told Travis we're going down the road the other day, and things are trying to kick off like there was in 22, you know, dealing with people. And so I say it often in the truck going down the road. This is going to be a smooth year. The bank is going to be smooth operating. Everything's going to be smooth. Why? Because my faith was tested, and I failed some things back last year. I made them right and repented. My words, I know, brought me a harvest that I didn't like in some small areas. And if I hadn't have caught on to it pretty quick, I mean, the Bible says that death, Teresa preached on it, death and life is in the power of the tongue. I mean, here 70 disciples leave Jesus, and then he stands up and says, Father, I thank you that I've not lost one. I mean, 70 left him. What's Jesus? I mean, here he was. He's not saying, oh, God, it's looking bad. God sent me down here. Man, I mean, you know, you win some, you lose some. I mean, he didn't say that. He stood up boldly, and he said, thank you, Lord, that I've not lost. What was he doing? He's walking by faith. He's got confidence in God, that he's doing the will of God, and the will of God's taking place. He realized that people make their own. Every one of us are going to make choices in 2023. The Bible says, for me not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. Now, I'm married. I'm not talking about that relationship. I'm not going to say right. I've got better sense because of the Bible to hook up myself financially or emotionally to people that are not right with Jesus. Because they don't have the same... They don't have the same financial visions that I have. They don't have the same dreams that I have. They don't have the same morals that I have. You know, and so when I hook with them, the Bible is always right. It says bad company will corrupt good what? Manners, morals, faith. So if you're, Satan's going to try to do it. I mean, just like I told Teresa yesterday, I said, Satan, just talking about a lot of marriages, tack, not just here. We know a lot more people than you. Okay? We know a lot more than this, our family here. And I told her, I said, and it will never come to me. It will never happen to us. Now, I don't mean that if it's happened to you, for you to get all under condemnation and blah blah. Oh, come on, grow up a little bit. Don't be intimidated when people that are fighting for things and you have suffered loss. Don't get all upset about that. You ought to jump up on the inside and say, yes, glory to God. Yes, I lost my house because I quit fighting. I figured it out. I had a brother Scotty preach that. Jesus said that no man has left father, mother, land, brothers, sisters for my sake and the gospel and lost anything. So the Bible is right. Now, if I have lost anything, then it's not the Bible didn't work. It's not God didn't work. It's not that. It is, I quit, I surrendered, I throwed in the towel, I let down my faith, something to that nature that the power of God could not work. And I told Teresa, I said, he's not really trying to work on me as far as women and stuff like that, you know. I said, I've settled that, you know. I said, that's something that he knows he might as well just shut up and go on to hell early. Some people said go back to hell where he come from. He didn't come from hell, he come from heaven. But hell's created for him. And he is going there. He will be there. He didn't come from hell, but hell's for him. But you know what I told her? I said, this is what Satan right now is trying to trip me up to get me distracted. I said, he's trying to get me to talk about people and their choices. He's trying to get me to judge people and their choices. Praise God. I'm going on jobs now. They're like, well, we're tired of this door company. We're blah, 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 blah. You know, not. I looked at the one guy Friday. He said, I'm going to use you from now on. I said, well, that's good. You know, and he's talking about another door company, you know. He's tired of them, blah, 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 you know. And I looked at him and I said, well, I don't know about all that. See, that's my story right there. I use that to stop that. That's, you know, I'll just say, well, I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that. What I'm doing, that's just my way of putting a stop to what's trying to get me to talk about. So I told Teresa, I said, he's after the church. He's after my finances. He's after my prosperity in the future. I said, he ain't telling me all that, but he's trying to get me to hook up with people that are talking about other people. I'm not doing it. You don't do it. And if you've been talking about other people, you better repent. Because the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He says, if I sow to the flesh, get into all them conversations about things that are ungodly, empty, without bringing up Jesus somehow in it. That he said, if I sow to the flesh, I will reap corruption. So you better watch in 2023 about hooking up, about taking seeds that somebody's saying, whether it is true or not, about people and their circumstances. You best just really say, I don't know about all that. I don't know about all that. What do you think? I don't know about all that. What would you do? I don't know about all that. This is a God saying. I picked it up and I'm using it. I'm using it with the garage door business. I'm using it with your business. I'm using it with the church. I mean, people tell me stuff about the church all the time. You know what Sister So-and-so is doing? I don't know about all that. Ain't none of my business. Well, they're going down the wrong road. Let them go. God's got a rope on their foot. When they jump off that bridge, he won't let them get destroyed. Black God, he'll draw them back up and give them opportunity to repent. Give him opportunity to get things right with him and remember how good he was and how good he's been and bring him back out. I said, he's big. See, what I'm saying is the testing of your faith is not just you got an extra light bill. I got my faith on my finances, so he wants me judging people. I got my faith on the church growing this year, so he wants me judging people. I got my faith out there on you prospering, so he wants me to judge somebody that's not. Well, they know better. They know better. They ought to be tithing. They know better than to tithe. I mean, he would like me to, Satan would like for me to go to Teresa and say, how many of them are really tithing? I don't have a clue. Don't want to know. Don't care. That way I get up here and I'm just freely talking and if you're going, oh, he's talking to me. No, I'm not. God is. I'm not. I don't know nothing about you. I don't know your business. I don't want to know your business. All I want to know is you are coming to church. Oh, you are making me happy. I can do something if you're church. If you're in church, I can help you if you're in church. I can pray and fast and get under an anointing just for you and bring you some chicken and dumplings. Spiritually speaking, I like chicken dumplings. Somebody said last week, they said, whoo, you give us some more of that faith stuff. I said, it's good, ain't it? It's really good, ain't it? Yeah, it was good. It was good, Brother Scott, he helped me. I said, that's what it's supposed to do. I said, where was you at? Church. Sitting at home depressed. Sitting at home saying, it's over. Ain't no need in trying. What's the, I mean, he told me, he's told, you know, thoughts come to me, man, my house paid off. Now I ain't working tomorrow. I don't have to work. I told him the other day, I said, shut up, idiot, before you talk me into getting lazy like a bunch of people. So I come out of my mouth and told Travis, I said, I ain't quitting. Gonna be a long time. I told him, I said, I don't have to be here. Told him the other day, I said, I don't have to be here. I just don't have to be on the job. I enjoy my working, man. Other than first thing in the morning. You know, I mean, you know, get up, slap yourself around a little, you know. We got to start talking that faith stuff in the morning. God, this is the day that you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. God, I thank you that your joy, this is how we can change our mornings. God, I thank you, Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Other than, oh, God, another day at the grinding mill. That'll depress anybody. See, we got to talk to ourselves. We got to rehearse stuff in our life. God, I'm not hooking up with unbelievers. I'm telling you, God's warning some of you and some of y'all by Facebook. Things can get really bad hooking up with non-believers. I'm not talking about just in relationships, but I am including relationships. I've seen people go through divorce. My brother was one of them. One of my brothers had a dream, saw this, and I painted her out. Come to me, and he said, would you marry us? And I said, I don't know, man. The Lord, I said, it's awful quick, ain't it? You done got a girlfriend already? You're not even divorced. I mean, those y'all Christians out there in la-la land out there, if you are married, then you cannot have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and be okay with Jesus and think that it's not going to affect your faith in God and your confidence, your love for God. It will affect it. It will affect the blessing of the Lord. But anyhow, I said, sure, man, just get it set up. Make sure it's not on Sunday. I go on, and the Lord told me, he said, that dream wasn't from me. He said, this is not the one. I thought, oh, Jesus, oh, man, I done committed to marrying him, you know. And I told the Lord, I said, okay, Lord, I said, I believe I'm hearing from you, Lord. I said, tomorrow, I said, I want you to line it up where I run across him, and it's brought up, and I'll tell him. I'm telling you, a miracle happened. I never run across him just like this happened. Run across him, and see, this was God. This was God trying to stop all the years and the suffering that he went through with this person. And I mean, lost finance, all kinds of bad things happened for over 7 years. 7 years is a long time. I went to him and I said, I'm telling you right now, I said, I know I heard from the Lord. I said, I want you married. I said, I felt like it's too quick anyhow because you're all an emotional roller coaster. This thing has happened to you by not your own making, and you are a roller coaster of emotions right now. You're wondering if you still look good. You're wondering if anybody would have you. You're wondering. I said, all this wondering is coming from your adversary, the enemy, trying to get you to move out ahead of God. I said, this woman ain't God. I'm telling you, I know. I know the Lord. I know. And you know what? I went on. I said, okay, fine. You know, God will let you have what you want. How many knows he will let you have what you want? He'll back out and leave you alone. If I don't want God involved in my life and I want to push him out, he'll just back up and he'll say, okay, I set before you life. You choose. You choose. See, there's a remnant this year that is going to choose God more this year than they did last year. These are the ones that are going to drink out of wells that they didn't dig. They're going to live in houses that they didn't build. God's going to do supernatural work. I heard Jensen Franklin this morning, and he was talking about how God's going to dig in dung. put manure. He talked about how that God's going to dig all around us, mess our lives up, you know, and take, and then he's going to add like manure to it. He fertilizes manure. And then it's going, he's going to throw things on you and stop things in your life. Then he's going to throw manure on it. He's going to fertilize it. He said, and he's going to cause dead things to live in your life. Thought, that's it, Lord. That's what you're saying to the church. He said, but you can't quit. He said, when God challenges you, you can't run. When God's asking you to forgive, do it. When God's asking you if he's asking you to get rid of people in your life that is a bad influence, do it. Do it. Just do it. God will bring somebody in your life. That's why we prayed for Travis, because we was really, and I'm really serious about the grandkids. You know, we prayed for Travis, and me and Teresa come in agreement together that God would send him. Now, there was some little Delilahs coming along. I mean, I let him go with one because a brother told me that, oh, they all go to my church, and blah, blah. And she was gothic to the core. Everything black. I mean, you know, and I'm like, God, oh, man, I almost let him get murdered. Almost let him marry the devil. Teresa finally got well enough, and she's getting on to me. You know, she just turned him over to me. She was going through some things, you know, with Judah and different things. But I was making some, I was like, ah, you know, man, I mean, hey, he's a good boy. He would never get involved in nothing. Oh, yes, he would. Oh, yes, he would. Ringleader. See, our flesh, see? It was his flesh. Hey, baby, is your legs tired? They've been running through my mind. I'm like, dude, somebody real ain't even going to bite that bullet. You get them little gothic girls, but them Christian girls, they ain't going to bite that one. But we prayed and we believed God. And I believe all along God intervened, and look what he got. I mean, I know Beth ain't perfect. She's got a lot of issues. I got a lot of issues. Travis has got some more issues than she does. You just don't want to admit it. But I wouldn't change it for nothing, Johnny. I mean, she's a good woman. She's a good mother. Now her kids tells her she's not sometimes. Yeah, you don't love me. It's because they didn't get pancake over and over and over. But my point in that is, you know, I told Travis one time, I said, God sent her. I said, God sent her for you. I said, and sent you for her. I said, God delivered her and give you a good life. God delivered you and put y'all together and give you a good life. If you're happy today in your marriage, praise God. I ain't, because she gets on my nerve. I'm not talking about that. You could be alone. You could be in bad shape. You could be all alone wishing that you had the company of some. Praise God for your marriage. And you know what? Rise up in your next marriage. Praise God in advance. We prayed in advance for Travis. I told God, I said, God, I thank you, Lord. And I spoke this out of my mouth, if I spoke it once, from the time he was about 5 or 6 years old till he did get married, I spoke it a million times. When the enemy come to mess with my faith through all the stuff that he did, you know, I wouldn't let it move me. I believed that God was able to work in spite of Travis's flesh, in spite of his stupidity. Now, he ain't stupid. I mean, I told him one time, I've never called him stupid. Never. I told him one time that was stupid. Oh, it hurt his feelings. He went to mom and dad. He said I was stupid. I never told him he was stupid, man. I told him some choices were stupid. But you know what? It ended up, see, all through that time, my faith was being tested. I wondered if God would be able to do it, just like we do with our finances or our ministry or our houses or our bills or whatever. Yes, God is able and will come through for us. Well, he came through. I wouldn't trade Beth for 10 women. I love her like a daughter. Do I think she does everything perfect? According to Travis, she don't. But I got to consider the source. I got to consider the lens he's looking through. Right? I'm not even going to ask Beth because she would tell me how wrong he is and she'd probably be right. But I let them enjoy life, Johnny. I'm watching my dream fulfilled. My grandkids are brought to church on Sunday. Oh, by the way, we need somebody to train on the media ministry. If anybody feels led, you know, we'll get you hooked up and start training you to do media ministry. Well, you know, I told Travis, I said, I could tell her that I'll do it. I said, but nah, I'm going to get her at Sunday school. You know, I mean, she was here at 9:30. We got here at 9:30, and I'm like, miracles happen. Every day, Travis is at Sunday school, but he wasn't. He's still laying in the bed. But Zach felt like the Lord wanted him to step down, you know, so left Beth all by herself. And so, so she's here at 9:30. I thought, oh, praise God. 9:30. Don't even have to be here till 10. She got here, the kids got to eat quick and all that, you know. And I thought, Lord, you work everything to the good. But that showed, that's what I'm talking about. She could have said, well, I could care less. I mean, I can't do it. I'm sure if you ask her, she would like to quit that thing up there sometime. I almost took that computer out yonder one time with a sledgehammer. And I mean, I thought, I'm going to get this devil out of this church. It's getting me upset every time I get up here, this devil right here. I'm serious. You know, going through and things not working out and all that stuff, you know. But it wasn't the devil, Johnny. It was God. And I was having to spiritually cover it and all that. Now here comes Beth stepping right up. She runs the whole media ministry. And God will send her help. And if he don't, she'll grow up with it. She'll grow up and get stronger and stronger and stronger. Why? Because God is going to take, I believe, Faithway Christian Center this year, and he's going to disrupt things in our life. But God is a good God. He's going to disrupt where I'm at, and he's going to cause me to go deeper. The word is our evidence of victory now. And if we've been serving the Lord very long at all, we really ought to be working on our word. Our words, they have power. Well, my life just sucked. Well, my life. You say that a year, your life's going to be sucking worse than that next year. Well, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Man, if my husband would do better, I mean, I could have a better life. No, you have what you say. You're having what you are saying. You're making yourself miserable. Teresa can't make me miserable. I come in sometimes, she might not be in the best mood or whatever over there, and I mean, I hit ignore mode, I hit it. I get on the couch and I put it in ignore mode, and she say something, she say, did you hear me? And I be like, kick it out for a minute. Yeah, I think so. I'm in ignore mode. Why? Because you ain't gonna bring your attitude to me. I'm not gonna take it. And she should be the same way. If I come in the wrong spirit and I've had a good day and all that, she needs to put me in ignore you mode. If I don't, we'll be in the fight mode. We will be in the fight. Me and her could be in fight mode real quick. All we have to do is both of us yield at the same time to what we're feeling. And by God, it'll be a knockdown drag out. And then, you know what we do? We're pulling out the white flag. See, Satan, we decided you're going to win. We're tired of this. We're tired of this fight. We've been married 38 years, 36 years. And I mean, it's the same old thing, week after week, month after month, year after year. And we're just going to give it up. You've surrendered. You've surrendered your weapons. You've fought. You've fought and you've fought a good fight and you've come to a place of victory. Like Pastor told me, my pastor told me one time, he'd done went through two or three divorces, not of his own making and all that. And he's like, well, I just don't feel good. I said, that don't make no. He said, people don't love me like you do. I said, that don't make no difference. I said, don't make no difference. I said, God's going to take care of you. I know you're in this and not of your own making. I know you didn't pick this battle, but you can win this war. And bless God, he did. He stayed. This woman, Leslie, she got mad at him. She wanted to get married. He's fasting and praying. And the Lord, he done been through two not good ones. Two. Somebody say two. Not good relationships. Hard, that stuff is not good. On top of the hurt you already had. And so he said, she's mad. She's getting mad at me. I said, what's she getting mad at you for, Brad? He said, because I won't marry her. And I said, well, why don't you marry her? She's a good woman, ain't she? Yeah, she's a good woman. He said, the Lord ain't told me. I said, that's a good answer. I said, she'll just have to stay mad. She'll just have to stay mad. You're not marrying her. You're not going to have sex outside of marriage. Christians got no business having sex outside of marriage. Y'all still believe that? No sex outside of marriage. Talking to my pastor, and I kind of bumped him on that to see how things had been going. He said, you know, I think Travis might have been there. Was you there? He said, you know, I'm surprised myself that I hadn't did it. I mean, I'm surprised. That's what he told me and Travis. He hadn't had no sex outside of marriage. He'd been dating her for 4 or 5 years. He just wouldn't let the atmosphere get heated. He's probably like, okay, see you later, honey. Shut the door. We'll go back out next week and eat. You want me to come in? Nope. Thank you. Lock that door. You can't come in. I seen it in that one eye. No, what he realized, Johnny, is he's got to keep his anointing. He's got to keep his heart where it's strong in the Lord and the confidence he's had in the Lord all these years, that he don't lose it like Samson did. He's preached the story of Samson before and caused me to realize I'm never going to mess with a Delilah. I'm never going to mess with a married woman. I'm never going to commit adultery. I'm not going to do it because I got an anointing from the Lord. And I started thinking this way when I was 28 years old. And I still think this way today. And I'm not. And I would always think I know that kind of relate. And then I've seen people do it over the years. In their lives, they used to be anointed. They used to testify. They used to have witness and anointing on their lives. And then they don't even go to church later on, and they don't even know what happened to them. I'm telling you. See, Bradley was keeping himself. Then the Lord tells him, marry her. Now y'all just go do what you want to do. Oh, baby, I'm going to tote you over the threshold, baby. I've been waiting a long time. Oh, y'all can't handle this in church, can you? But we can watch it on the soap operas. We can watch it on the back-to-back. I mean, you know, these movies they make, like Teresa, they end that movie and then they go build it to make it end up that movie. You know, see, this stuff filters in and tries to create an image of the way things ought to be. You know, one time Teresa said, I wish you was like somebody who was on One Life to Live. And it made me mad. Well, come to find out, that dude done been divorced, didn't have a life. He's an actor. I might be mistaken. I don't remember that, but I remember thinking that. Anyway. See, we got to watch. Faith will be tried from time to time. I mean, you know, Just like, I've almost got my barn built back over there. I mean, I work on it when I can, you know, and all of that. But I started out believing God. What you meant for my bad, you'll turn it around and you'll cause it to work for my good. But you know, just because you believe and say that don't mean you don't have to do nothing. You got to work. Be doers of the word, the Bible says. Be doers. Come back yesterday and Teresa and Travis and all of them went out to eat, you know. Told all the rest, I said, I should have been with you. Well, Papa, you should have. I said, well, I didn't know y'all was going. I said, Papa probably would have come and went to Cracker Barrel or wherever they went. Huh? In the thrift store. Golden Crow. Yeah, sounds good about right now. Hungry. And I told her, I said, but I was telling Teresa, I set plans. I said, I'm working on the future. Now, she's heard that for a lot of years. You know, I'm working on the future. But when that jackpot hits, Johnny, it ain't going to be no more. I wish you was around. She's going to be saying, baby, could you find you something to do, please? Because I ain't got nothing to do but fix my garden spot. And I ain't got but 16 acres. I'm used to working on 40 and building ponds and barns and all of that. And I ain't going to have no cows, but I'm going to have some cash. And then I'm going to sit at home, and she's going to have to mop under my feet. You see, I won't let how I feel get me off of the future. I believe that God brings things into your life that is going to bless your future, but you got to work with it. You got to embrace it. It's going to cost you seemingly. A good relationship will cost you. A good name will cost you. I got a good name here at this church. Most people, the people that are wrong, they'll tell you he'll break your marriage up. He'll tell you to love one another. Forgive one another. Pray for one another. He don't understand. But then those that want God's will, they take it. They absorb it. They say, okay, we're going to fight. We're going to fight. I'm going to fight to have a good name here at this church. I'm going to fight for my business to have a good reputation. It has one, and I'm not going to lose it after all of these years. The world has tried to do it, and people has tried to do it to persuade me to quit and this and that. The banks and all the people that don't want to be diligent. I almost climbed the ladder to the corporate place over where I buy doors, because you ain't going to put me out of business after 28 years. I told that one girl, I said, how long have you been there?
3.5 years.
I said, you were in diapers when I started here. I said, you understand? I said, I've got a business to run. I said, I'm going to do this and this and this. Why am I telling you that? Because the Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear rule. You be diligent to forgive. You be diligent not to hook up with non-believers. You be diligent. Your heart, you know. I mean, we have God living on the inside of us. Hallelujah. I mean, somebody walks up to the land up there, Teresa knows about it, wanted to know if I'd take them somewhere. And I mean, on the inside, I mean, I'm like, no, run. Run. The whole time crossing my property. So I tell all the neighbors around there, I said, if you see anybody on my property, call the law. If you see them crossing my property, call the law. Well, you know what they did? Called the law. And they both went to jail. Bye. Solved my problem. The jail did it. Well, that seems a little harsh. No, you was warned. You're trying to be used of the enemy. Now you are my enemy. You are not my friend. If I ask you to stay off my property and I catch you on my property, you are not my friend anymore. You're trespassing, right? See, look, just because we have faith don't mean that we're not going to face giants and Goliaths and people and different things to have to make bold choices. The Bible says the righteous are bold. As a lion, we're bold. I'm bold to stand up on the inside and say it out of my mouth, not a bunch of hot words. You know, you will never get me to divorce you. You'll have to divorce me. Well, that's my choice, Johnny. And I bless God, she can't make me divorce her. She don't have that kind of power. There ain't no lawyer that can make me divorce her. Not one lawyer can make me divorce her in my heart. You might serve me a paper, but you didn't get it out of my heart. The word's in my heart, and I'm going to stand on. And you know what God will do? God will honor my heart despite anybody else's actions. He will honor your heart despite anyone else's actions. You know, people, a lot of times, like somebody told me yesterday, I'm on that tractor that I preached to y'all about. And I'm telling y'all about all this stuff, man. I mean, I'm living just like you are. I'm living and got things going on in my life and all that. But, bless God, I've got the Word of God. I've got the faith of God. I've got the favor of God. I've got the wisdom of God. We got it. The Bible says all we have to do is ask Him for it. And one of my other brothers, he said, man, he said, Preston said, you fixed that tractor. Because they knew about the deal, you know. And I said, no, I said I didn't. Well, Preston said you did. I said the Holy Spirit did. I said I didn't know how to fix that tractor. I didn't know. I said it was trying to rob me. It was trying to steal from me. I said, and I made up my heart and I spoke to it. I own you and you will do what I want you to do. Instead of saying, you know, it's junk, blah, blah, blah. You know? And I'm standing there and I'm thinking, no, give God all the glory here. Give Him the glory. I'm not that smart, you know, but I am riding when I crank it on the blessing of the Lord. Maketh rich and adds no sorrow. That tractor is mine, not mine in the banks. And it's probably worth more now because it ain't on that junk now. It can never quit on you in that manner again, praise God, hallelujah. And so, you know, God did it. I said, no, God did it. I said, just like the barn, God did it. God, I believe God. Hallelujah. He said, he looked and he said, man, this has turned out to be a nice little farm. And I looked up and I said, what'd you say? He said, this has turned out to be. Well, now he went over, Johnny, when I got it 5 years ago. He went over there. I told Travis about 2 or 3 weeks we're going down the road. See, what I'm telling you is, God will speak to you. God will give you desires for stuff. He'll put them there, not because you desire up here, but He will give you desires to be debt-free. He'll give you desires to walk health in your health with health and wealth and all of that. He'll put it in your desire to be blessed. In your heart to be blessed. Well, I'm going down the road. I told Travis, I said, man, I said, maybe one day me and you might need to buy some land together. It wasn't been about probably 3-4 weeks. I don't know how long. That old man, I ran across that old man, and he sold me that. 40 acres for $12,500. 40 acres. And I go over there. I didn't even go over there. Went and got the paperwork, got it all done. Then I went over there. And I walked out there, and I mean, it is a mess. They have clear cut it. They have pile stuff. They have dug ravines. They have, it's a mess. And I'm standing there thinking, I'm thinking, God, man, what have I done? You know? And I thought, but God, you give me this. God, you did it. Made everybody mad around there. Well, he wouldn't sell me that. But he wanted $3,000 for that little lot right there. I thought, favor. I thought I got the favor going on up in you. He wanted $3,000 for a little bitty lot right there. Showed me the whole 40 acres for $12,500. But you know what? I started believing God in unfavorable circumstances. I started believing God. I started calling, getting prices. Then I started believing God. I started believing God to clean it off. I started dreaming about it. I started getting the vision. I saw cows on it later on. I mean, I dreamed way ahead. And then I believed God to supply all of my needs according to His riches. I believed Him in extra to come through. See, some of you might be a little bored me telling this. What are you believing God about? That's why I don't excite you, because I'm telling you what God's done. Now, that property, I just built a barn that is 33 by 72. By my faith, before I saw it, God lined it up, and it cost me about $8,000, and the barn probably raised the property value to over $100,000. What are you believing God for? Well, everything is bad at my house. I just told you I was standing there in unfavorable circumstances, and it is all done. The puns. I've got 25 cows on it. I mean, I've got barn. The whole 40 acres is fenced in. I planted grass. I'm fixing to get me some Bahia grass. I can't even explain it. Baja grass, whatever it is. I used to like them Bajas. It's a dune buggy with the fenders cut off. You know. But this grass, the roots grow deep. When the drought comes, it's called Pensacola. I kind of like Pensacola because they had a revival over it lasted for years. It's called Pensacola. See, it might not mean nothing to you, but what about your land that you want done? What about your block wall? What about your driveway? What about you can't see it right now because you think it might cost too much? What about believing God and not counting how much it's going to cost you, but believe God and let God finance your life? Let God finance your driveway. Let God finance your block wall. I know what I'm saying. Let God finance your windows you want in your house. Let God finance your Suburban. I mean, that looks like they pull up. When they first come down the road, I thought, I wonder what the FBI is doing around here. That's why, because I watch a lot of movies, man. They drive them SUVs blacked out, can't see nobody in there. I thought, that looks like the FBI, man. Kind of funny. It was Travis and them coming in Best 30-foot SUV. But you know what? I remember going dragging a little Toyota with the back window busted out under my lean-to for Beth. Back yonder. I sold it to Mr. Bradley, and I thought, this is ridiculous right here. Then when it started going on a little bit, I thought, this is ridiculous. That girl ain't going to drive this kind of stuff. That girl's going to drive nice stuff. Now, Travis, man, I liked it. I made him nervous because he gets to quit buying these him trucks. And him this, and him that, and him. But you know what? He turned in now. I mean, he wants Beth. That's the way God is, though. He wants Beth to drive good stuff. He wants, you know, I told him, I said, why don't you park up there, you know, fix that driveway? I don't know. Beth will back right over my truck. And sure enough, she might. That thing's long, Johnny. You're talking about backing, parking over there. I can just see Beth. Nah, you better. So he parked it on each side of the drive when you start in. Give plenty of room for Beth and Teresa. Praise God. This is going to be your year. Your year for your healing. Just like Teresa, she said, told me yesterday, she said, your nose better than it was. And I said, nah, not really. I said, it's been 2 weeks. She said, you know what that means, don't you? And I said, yeah. She said, just like me going to the doctor and doctors couldn't do nothing, now it's God's going to heal us. See, you don't surrender just because things look like it's not going to happen. You don't surrender to it. We walk by faith and not by sight. Teresa brought it up, and I had it in the sermon. I didn't feel really they had to go down there. But Mark 4, Jesus. And I had revelation back yonder when I seen what Jesus did. It dawned on me that Jesus, when the devil come to him with these natural circumstances and natural things and power that he was going to give him, and he told Satan, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. But he quoted the word of God, and I cross-referenced it. I wanted to know, what is Jesus? Where did he get these words, you know? And I started cross-referencing what Jesus was doing and found it in Psalms and in Deuteronomy. I found what Jesus was saying. I thought he didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus had Deuteronomy and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Exodus, and he had the Old Testament. It's all Jesus had. I thought, now here he is. And the Lord told me, he said, you do the same thing Jesus did. He said, you come at the enemy with the word. He said, you bind him. He said, you resist him steadfast in the faith. See, we can't do nothing with Satan in our natural life. But I'm telling you, we're not natural. We're supernatural beings. And I absolutely, people think that I'm a little bit crazy or whatever. He's afraid to come to my house. There's a guy come here one time, had a wrong spirit back under. We was back there, hadn't even moved back here. And I just learned some things about, you know, I was learning things about the demonic world and how spirits can be transferred. That's how come when you sleep with somebody, you spiritually connect yourself with them. Both people, you spiritually connect yourself. And so what's in their life will come in your life unless you break it. You can take the blood of Jesus and stand up and break that thing. But anyways, guy comes in the door right there, and I done learned a bunch of these things. I shook hands with the guy in the store one time, and he had a really bad spirit. And I mean, it took me 3 days. I felt plumb defeated for 3 days. I just seemed to couldn't shake that thing. Finally, I went on a fast. I didn't even want to fast. I'm like, I ain't got the strength. It made me feel like I didn't have the strength. But I went on by faith and fasted, and I broke that thing, bless God. And I took a shield of faith. Praise the Lord. And I said, if I ever shake anybody's hand that's got a spirit on them, bless God, it's going to have to leave them. I'm not, you know, I just rose up, you know, on the inside to another level of thinking. When he comes to church, and he walks in and he looks. He said, the devil's here. Like that. And I looked over there. And one lady, I thought, well, it could be in her, but surely not. True story, man. You know, and I looked, you know, and then it hit me. I thought, it's him. And I looked back at him, I said, yeah, and it's you. And when I did, all color left his face. I mean, it's just like he was drained of blood. And he started staggering, opened the door, and walked out and staggered all the way to his truck. I thought, there's the difference, Lord, in shaking his hand in somebody's hand in the grocery store and that spirit attacking me and now standing there and taking authority over that. Couldn't move me at all. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, this is the year, give God. That's what Jensen was saying. God was telling him, he said, God said to give him 1 year. Give him a year. Get planted in the house of the Lord. Give him a year. Get you know, tithe, get sow. Give him a year. Do it. Do it for a year. And God is going to take you and do things in a year, but he wants time. He's not interested in one Sunday morning service. He's interested in a dedicated to him, and then he takes us places we never dreamed possible. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, when your faith is tested, don't yield the wrong way. Yield the right way, praise God. Let's bow our heads.